speak. So I guarantee that this one is probably going to be a two or three parter. And it's part of something that I know is going to grow in our church here. I know that Eddie sharing at the men's fellowship is part of this. And I know that Eddie's going to have more things that we'll be sharing with the congregation over the weeks and months to come. But a lot of the times we do things in our lives as Christians, and we do them because that's what we do. I mean, you know, many times people take great joy in the fact that they don't go to a denominational church. I'm not criticizing anybody, denominational or non-denominational, but one of the things that's often said is, well, I grew up in a church that had liturgy. That's a fancy word for saying that we opened up a book, our hymnal, and we had an order of service, and we followed that. How many grew up in a church like that? You know, where you read responsively and you went through an order of service. Then when I got all saved and all excited and filled with the Spirit, I went, oh, that's dead form. That's just dead form. I don't want dead form. And then when I went back, I realized that they were singing the Psalms. And they were reading Scripture. And I thought to myself, uh-oh. I was speaking a little harshly. Now, anything we do without understanding can become dead form. That's one thing we need to realize. And so it's important that we have understanding in what we do. One of the things that we do every Sunday is that at the end of the service, I give you a blessing. And it's from Numbers chapter 6. And it goes, as you know, and you've heard it so many times, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. I do that every Sunday. For some of you, that sounds very liturgical. But I want to tell you something. It's something that we do purposefully. And I've never preached on it. I realize that. I realize that all of what we do here when we gather together is worship. And we need to worship with understanding. God's a God of order and design. And many of the things that he's called us to do have a distinct and powerful purpose. And those things can be released in our lives when we have understanding. So you've got your notes in there. And guess what? I have a PowerPoint. Thank goodness Karen was making sandwiches last night at the wee hour of the night. And I was able to do a PowerPoint without getting in trouble on Saturday night. Yeah, so you'll be able to follow along a little bit better. That's the end of the PowerPoint. We need to go to the first slide. That's my fault, Sherry, because I clicked through it. So we need to go back to the first slide. So I want to look at, and this is what I realized. I was preaching a series entitled Power for Living. And I'm looking at today, Power for Living, the Priestly Blessing. And we'll wait for the first slide to get back up there. What's that? Just close the program, reopen it again. It's in a file series and Power for Living. I'm going to get started. Number 622. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying. I want to just start with that first verse of Numbers. Now, before we even start to break this apart, all of this, and if you read the book of Numbers, all of this stuff has been going on. God's been giving them the law in the book of Leviticus. You see all the laws that he gave them. And then the priests have been set apart. They've been anointed, and they've been set in their place of ministry. And now, after all that's done, God says to Aaron, I want you to put my name on the children of Israel and bless them. That's verse 27, which we'll get to in a second. But this is how it starts. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying. Now, how many of you remember the song that we do sometimes that Eddie leads us in? Eleon. It's got several Hebrew names. El Shaddai, God Almighty. And so in the last frame, what we do is we actually put the English, because we don't use those Hebrew terms, but they're very meaningful, and they're very full of meaning. There are many words in the Hebrew that are used for God. Adonai, Elohim, El Shaddai. But there's one name that's given, That is the covenant name of God. And that's the name that we can either say Yahweh, or we can say Jehovah. I'm going to choose to use Jehovah this morning because it's a little bit more known. And that is the covenant name of God. When Moses was with the children of Israel, and he said, God had said, I'm going to send you to send the children of Israel free. And then he goes, well, wait a second. If I go down there, I already tried that 40 years ago. How many remember the story when he tried it 40 years prior? And he jumped in and he killed an Egyptian, buried him in the sand because he was trying to protect his Hebrew brothers. And then they said, oh, are you going to? And then he sees two Hebrews arguing, and he tries to get in there and straighten it out. And they said, what are you going to do, kill us like you did the Egyptian and bury us too? And so he fled because he knew that it was known, and he was afraid for his life. 40 years he spent in the wilderness, 40 years of breaking down that stubborn streak in him, and it really molded him into the leader that God was calling him to be, and he was a reluctant leader. I think God uses reluctant leaders greater than he does leaders that are willing just to jump in. I've always been kind of a reluctant leader. I've never been one just to jump and volunteer. I want God to be in the middle of that, and Moses did too. He was worried about what they would say after 40 years to come back and say, oh, by the way, I had this encounter with a bush that burned and never went out. Already I'm going, right? And they're going to say, well, who was it? He'll go, I don't know. He said, who shall I tell them has sent me? And so we see that God tells him Yahweh, YHWH. There are no vowels in the Hebrew language, so we don't know exactly how it was pronounced. The name was so holy that when the scribes would transcribe the Bible and they would come to that name, they would bathe, change their clothes, write the name, bathe, change their clothes. I mean, it was a holy name. It wasn't even spoken, and some of the other words were used to substitute because it was almost too holy to be spoken. And we're going to just use the term Jehovah. It means the existing one. It's the proper name of the one true God. It is the proper name of the one true God. It's the name that reveals in the Bible, and the word Trinity doesn't show up in the Bible. How many of you know that? And yet we believe in the Trinity, and what the Trinity really is the revelation in scriptures that there's one God eternally existent in three persons, equal in essence and nature, but distinct in person. Now that can't be said about any of us, can it? But that is true about God. The Father is called God. The Logos that became the Word and became the Son is called God. The Spirit is called God. We see this triune God involved in the creation of the world and of man. It doesn't say, God doesn't just say, you know, I think it'll be a good idea for me to create man. He said, let us create man in our image, and the plural is used. And we see in John 1 that Jesus was the Logos, and he existed with God. And it says, and he created everything through him, and without him was not anything made. Now, in the Greek language, the term for Yahweh or Jehovah was a compound word, ego eimi, which means I am. And literally, Yahweh or Jehovah means I am that I am. I am the existing one. And so when we read in the New Testament and in the Septuagint, we will see that compound term, ego eimi, used for Yahweh. So in John chapter 8, verse 58, some of the scribes and Pharisees are saying, well, how can you speak about all this stuff? I mean, you're not even 30 years old, basically, and you know what Abraham and Moses and I and all these guys, you know everything? And this is what Jesus said in John 8, 58. Jesus said to them, most surely I say to you, before Abraham was, ego eimi. Now, we read it in our English Bible, before Abraham was, I am. And we could just read that and just pass right over it. I mean, it would just seem of no significance. It would seem a little strange. Before Abraham was, I am. But it says when they heard him say that, they were filled with indignation and they took up stones to stone him. Well, why was that? Because they knew this is what Jesus was saying. Before Abraham was, Yahweh, Jehovah. He was telling them and showing them who he really was. He was calling upon the covenant name of God with Israel and applying that and attaching that to himself, and they knew what he was doing. In Hebrews 11, 6, we read about, in the whole Hebrews 11 chapter, we read about faith. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to him must believe that he is. Now, that sounds like a weird statement, too. You must believe he is. He is what? You know, have you ever wondered that? You may read over that. You must believe that he is what? No, you must believe that he is the existing one. You must believe that he is Yahweh. Amen. That he is Jehovah. It says, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, what's the first and great commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's the great commandment. And the great commandment is to learn to worship the one true God. You know, that was the great tenet of faith for Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Yahweh, Jehovah. I loved it that we sang that song at the very beginning. Now, this is not the purpose of this study, but in the next, I'm going to jump all the way to the 27th verse, because this what is known as the Aaronic blessing, not the ironic blessing, the Aaronic blessing, Aaron's blessing, what is known as Aaron's blessing over the children of Israel is finished with this verse in verse 27. It says, so, I'm going to just put Aaron's name in there. So Aaron, you shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Notice he doesn't say, Aaron, you shall say these blessings on the children of Israel, and they'll be blessed. He said, no, Aaron, your job is to put my name on them. He was calling Aaron to speak the name of the covenant God of Israel over the people of Israel, and it was that covenant name spoken upon them that brought the blessing. Now, there's tons of meaning there, folks. And this is a whole study within itself. We've done this in times past, but I'm giving you the references here, and we're not going to go to each one, but I want to make this point that it was the revelation of the name of God to Israel that set them apart as God's chosen people. It was the fact that they were connected to this all-powerful existing one, Yahweh. And it was through their history that God revealed himself to Israel in different circumstances and in different conditions and at different points of need with what is called the revelatory names of God. Now, most of you are familiar with those. I think we have them on our wall, don't we, out there by the prayer room in little frames? We have the eight revelatory names of God out there. But that's what we want to look at, the eight revelatory names of God. This is how God revealed the meaning of what it was to be the existing one in the life of Israel. And again, I'm just going to go over them and name them. And I've got the scripture references there for you in descending order so you can go through the Old Testament and you can actually read the story and do a little research on your own about where it was that God revealed himself in this way. So we used to sing this song. How many remember that? Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for me. How many remember that song? Yeah, I love that. I remember I played that when I was in college. You know, the real ripping one. but he's our provider. He is Jehovah Jireh, which means provider. He is the covenant God who's promised to provide. Now that one, I can tell you where it's from. It's from when Abraham was offering up Isaac. And he says, God will show supply a lamb. He will provide. He will be Jehovah Jireh. And he is our provider. Jehovah Rapha, he is our healer. And these two we know very well. We love to talk about this. That he comes and he's our healer. And I love the fact that we can get hung up on how God heals. And we can create all sorts of systems about that. And make some ways of healing holier than other ways of healing. I don't know about you, but I just want healing. Amen? And whether God will touch Jimmy with a miraculous, boom, new kidney in his body, or send one of his family members with four kidneys in his body, I mean, isn't that equally miraculous? I mean, whoa, my goodness. My goodness. I'm all for miracles. I'd like to see more of them. But I just want healing. You know, and I'm not going to tell God how to do it, when to do it, where to do it. I'm just going to believe him to do it. He's my healer. He is Jehovah Rapha. He's also Jehovah Nissi. He's our victory. He's our banner. You know, the picture of waving the banner, the army waving the banner in victory. We can wave the banner of victory because he's our victory. The battle's not ours, is it? It's the Lord's. You know, I don't know what you're facing this morning, but I want to tell you something, that he's greater than whatever you're facing. He's more powerful than whatever you see as insurmountable. He can speak, he can just say the word, and mountains will move into the sea. Now, you know, in that verse, and we have no record of any mountains actually being displaced into the ocean. He was using what is commonly known as a hyperbole. And what a hyperbole is, an exaggeration. It's kind of like for the men. When we dismiss this morning, I'll be so hungry, I'm heading to Kincaid's because I could eat a horse. Now, that's a hyperbole. I'm really not set out to eat a horse. If I really sat down and ate a horse, I'd be in hurting condition. And so it's not that God is commissioning us to go to the mountain ranges in California, wherever, the Rockies, and begin to rearrange the geography. But what he is telling us, that he's our victory. And whether he moves the mountain, whether he gives us a pathway around it, or whether he hands us a pick and a shovel and a jack and says, okay, you're digging through this one, he's our victory. And he will see us through. You know, I really want you to continue to pray for this class, because I believe God is calling us to really touch and save marriages. I want to tell you something. There's not a marriage, there's not a relationship that God cannot save. If two people are willing to submit to him and allow his great grace to work through them. Not a relationship. There doesn't need to be a shipwreck. It just takes two willing people to surrender and be humble before God and be honest and let God deal with them. He's our victory. I love this. He's our sanctifier. We talked about the power of consecration last week. And someone came up to me and said, I asked God this morning to give me sanctification. I think that's a worthy thing for us to all ask. We are set apart, but there, you know, the wonderful thing about cleansing streams is that, well, I'll give you a very practical example. We just did some remodeling and stuff in our home, and we had to empty out drawers and cupboards, right? Hannah is also cleaning her room. It's still a work in progress. Thank you. But and so we're all taking stuff out, and I'm getting that look. We're all taking stuff out, and we're all looking at the stuff we get. And all of a sudden, she goes, "Look what I found." We said, look, I didn't know this was here. You see, we all have stuff we don't know is there, right? You know, now that was, some of it was good stuff when we did the cupboards. But how many of you know that in our lives, there's some stuff that we're not even aware of that is not good stuff? And we need the sanctifier to come in. He doesn't come in to destroy us. He comes in to just clean house so we can be free. Do you really want to be free? I do. I mean, I really, you know, I slept last night so well. I've been in a pillow crisis. Have any of you ever been in a pillow crisis? I've been trying pillow after pillow after pillow, man. I mean, I've been waking up with neck cricks and back aches, and that pillow's not going to work, and I've been rotating the pillows in my house, and finally I got a pillow and I slept. I slept so good that I woke up at 2:30 in the morning, fully awake. I'm ready to go. I said, "Oh man, I get to sleep some more." When you're whole, when you're free, it's just great joy. Nothing that you're holding on to in your life, no sin, no anger, no unforgiveness, is worth it. It can't even compare to the joy of being free. Jesus said, if you know me and you abide in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you what? Free. And I will be honest with you. There have been times in my life when I've been putting on the Christian face in the past, and I wasn't free. And I know there's some of you at that point right now here this morning. We learn how to do the Christian things. We learn how to say the Christian phrases. We learn how to carry our Bibles and put stickers on our car, and we learn how to sing and raise our hands and all that kind of stuff. And yet you may not be free at all. See Doug and Mary after service and talk to them, because God wants you to be free. What a joy it is to be free. He's our sanctifier. Next, he's our peace. Now we'll talk about it. I'm not going to get into that one because that's part of the lesson. But he's our peace. When you're at a place of cleansing and freedom, you're naturally at a place of peace. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest places of peace that I have, you know, personally, when I feel really peaceful, and I really can't do it here because it's not close, but I would go down to the beach and I would walk at night on the seashore. And the moonlight on the crest of those white waves, yeah, we kind of miss that part of California, don't we? And just the salt and the sound of the waves. And there's times when you can, at night, be no one else there but you, just walking on that beach. That's my greatest peace. God wants us to have that. You all have that place. For some of you, that's like going out in the woods with your shotgun and your deer blind. And you're at peace. I know, Mindy, I don't like that either. You know, I don't want to kill Bam. But, you know, there's some people, that's their peace. Let me tell you, I got some pastor friends, that's their peace. Yeah, I'm at the deer blind. I'm up here. I'm waiting for a little Bambi to come around. I'm at peace with God. Hallelujah. It's the best place I could ever be, you know. And if you do that, bless your heart. He's also our shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is our shepherd. All of these were ways that he revealed himself in his covenant relationship with God. He said, I am the existing one who is going to do this for you. That's what these names are. That's what Hebrews 11:6 says. You've got to believe he is. He is what? He's our provider, our healer, our victory, our sanctifier, our peace, our shepherd. Jehovah Tsidkenu. He's our righteousness, that you are not righteous within yourself. There's nothing you can do to be accepted by God. There's nothing you can do to be good enough for God. But he comes and he gives you his righteousness and he gives you complete pardon. He just says, man, you are clean in my, you know, when God the Father looks at me, you know who he sees? Jesus. With little Kirk's face poking out. He sees Jesus. He doesn't see my sin anymore. He doesn't see my brokenness anymore. That's why I can boldly come into the throne room of grace through the blood of Christ, because now he sees his son in me. And when the enemy comes like an accuser to say, have you considered Kirk? He's really quite a jerk, you know. Father will say, let me look at him. No, I just see Jesus. I just see Jesus. Finally, he is Jehovah Shammah. He's our presence. He's our presence. We're going to talk about that too, so I'm not going to really develop that very much. Now look at that. I told you this one's going to go a long way. Is that okay? I hope so. You see, it was Aaron's call to speak the name of God over, or to put it upon the children of Israel. Now, throughout my daughter's life as growing up, I put the name of Zender over her because she's my daughter, right? I'm sure you did that with your kids. And I would say to her at different times, remember the great Hornbuckle Horatio Zender, who doesn't exist, but I made him up. And I would say to her, Zenders never give up. Did you grow up hearing that all the time? Yeah. See, I was speaking a value of our family over her. I was speaking the name of our family and the heritage of our family. And my dad made a lot of crazy, terrible mistakes in his life. But there's one thing that shined like a star. My dad never gave up. He never gave up. Till the day he went into the presence of the Lord, he never gave up. He had Alzheimer's. He had all sorts of personal problems. He blew so many jobs in his life because of some personal problems that he had. He worked his way into hole. Time after time, he was in debt, having to borrow to get out of debt. He'd give you anything. He just couldn't manage it very well. And he was a senior cost accountant. He did it well for other companies, but he couldn't do it well for himself. The plumbers whose sink keeps dripping. The concrete contractor whose driveway needs repair. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding, guys. I just see you sitting there together, brothers, and I had to just throw that one in. But the one thing he never did was give up. And so I at different times I would just speak that. I'd speak it tongue in cheek. I would joke around. Oh, remember the words of Horatio Hornblower Zender. Or Hornblower Horatio Zender. And I would do a little voice and stuff, and she'd go, oh, Dad, shut up. No, she wouldn't say shut up. She'd go, Dad, quit. Yeah. But I was saying it for a purpose. I was speaking that value. You see, God called Aaron to speak the name and the person and the attributes and the power of God over his people. When you say Jehovah, when it starts out and the Lord spoke to Moses, put my name to Aaron, have Aaron put my name on the people of Israel and I will bless them. He was saying, when you speak my name over them, you're speaking the fact that I will be their provider. I will be their healer. I will be their victory. I will be their sanctifier. I will be their peace. I will be their shepherd. I will be their righteousness. I will be there always with them. They'll never be able to get away from my presence as they walk in my covenant grace. And so the psalmist says, where can I escape from you? How can I get away from your presence? And so finally, and this is where I'm going to end today. It was in the power and revelation of God's covenant name that all his blessings are revealed and realized in theirs and in our lives. Now, let me ask you this question. Worship team, come on up. Let me ask you a question. Can you think of one need in your life that isn't covered by those eight names? Provider, healer, victory, sanctifier, peace, shepherd, righteousness, present. There's not one need in our lives that isn't covered by those names. He has just opened up his heart and told us who he is. And he didn't say, I'm going to be that for Aaron and Moses. He said, I'm going to be that for all of my people. And so when we stop at the end of our service and we say the Lord, we use the word Lord and we don't, it's Jehovah. Yes. May Yahweh bless and keep you. May Yahweh make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. As we begin to break that down next week and however long it takes, we're going to break that down word by word, bit by bit. We're going to turn it over. We're going to ruminate on it. We're going to meditate on it. So that you know I'm not kidding, that was only 2/3 of page one. I'm just going to be obedient to God. He wants to do something in your life. Let's stand and let's worship him as we think about those names and we call upon him to be our covenant. I'm going to give you one practical example, because this is not spiritual stuff. This is reality. Last year, I shared a little bit with you about this. Our insurance world, Karen's and my, exploded. 75% increase on our policies, in both Hannah's and Karen's and my policy. Then I got auto renewals and homeowner renewals, and they went through the roof. They doubled my daughter's insurance. I mean, I was going to be insurance poor this year. I mean, I just couldn't afford it. But I know what to do. I began to cry out to the Lord. I said, God, you're my provider, and I'm trying to honor you with my life. And I'm not saying this, but just hear me. And I'm trying to honor you with my finances. I'm trying to put you first in all of that. And you've promised that when these times come, you'll rebuke the devourer for me. And so I need you to give me wisdom, and I need you to start pushing that back. Now, I'm not saying the insurance companies are a devourer, but it was just coming on me. And so I began to pray, and I began to call, and I began to turn over every rock. And I want to tell you, our health insurance, still, there was no going anywhere with that. I had to rearrange a lot of things in my life. But my auto insurance, my homeowner's insurance, praise God, it just took phone calls. God gave me favor. I had to start asking stuff. I had to start looking at other companies. I had to start going back and forth. And I had to do some legwork, but he carved all of those down, and I'm now saving money instead of doubling my expenses. Now, that is because God is willing to do that for us. It's practical, folks. It touches our lives where we live. He doesn't just do that for me. He'll do that for you. He's our provider. He's our strength. Let's sing this last song and let the name of God just come upon you. If you don't know Jesus this morning, man, after we get done praying, you come up and you need to get the Lord in your life, because he has great things for you. He doesn't want you out there struggling on your own, just clawing to try to survive this life. He wants you to live life and life abundantly. Thank you, Lord.
If my praise is where you are dwelling, if my praise is where I'm not afraid.
saying, well, golly, Kirk, you know, you just don't know my circumstance. I've tried all the stuff you said. It's not working. You got to praise. We're going to learn that part of walking in the blessing of God is learning to position ourselves in the place of blessing. And the one thing praise does is praise doesn't necessarily change the circumstance at the moment, but it places you under the name and the provision of God. And when you begin to praise Him, I don't care whether it's raining cats and dogs, nails and fire and brimstone, you'll come under the place of safety and you'll be in the position for His provision to come and reach your life. It'll take your attitude and turn it into gratitude. It will let you praise Him and live your life above your circumstances. So I don't know about you, but I choose to praise Him.
Yes, hallelujah.
Last year, you know, that I came on a Sunday morning telling you that I might be gone for 10 weeks. Karen and I had rearranged all our furniture because the doctor said for sure, I had to have an aortic valve replaced and a root. And when I went for the test, none of that was true.
Hallelujah.
So here, I want to tell you something. I had the surgery once. You know, I didn't get that kind of reprieve the first time, but God is just doing stuff.
Yes, He is. Hallelujah.
Karen and I weren't worried.
Hallelujah.
I was a little bit. But anyway, but we made provision in case, if you want to read that, that is on the podcast, dealing with the seen while walking in the unseen. Listen to that message. But the point is that we began to praise and we just believe God. We had our family with us praying for us. I went in 3 tests and they said, we don't know what to do with this guy. All of his arteries are clear. The aortic valve is not enlarged. It's not a serious issue. It's mild. We'll see in 6 months. God is faithful to His people. His name has been spoken over us. He is our healer, a provider. He's our victor. He's all those things. And when we choose to praise, it's released and we enter into that position of blessing. Let's sing that one more time. Then I'm going to say amen and bless you. But if our praise is where demons, I like that. I love this verse.
Hallelujah.
Listen to the words of this, man. Let praise be your hallelujah victory this morning. Hallelujah.
My praise,
Lord, is my
yes,
praise
is where demons tremble.
And He's trembling right now if you praise the Lord.
If my praise,
yes,
hallelujah,
my praise
makes darkness flee. If my praise,
Lord, if my praise
is where the devil is defeated.
With me, and we're going to close. We've been invited to come under the mighty name of God, the covenant name of God, the name that is above all names, Jesus, the great I am, the living one, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. We've called under the banner of the name of God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And He comes to bless us, not because we've earned it, but because that's the kind of God that he wants. He says, before you, this moment, I give you a choice, life or death. Choose life. Blessing or curse, choose blessing. Covenant or stubbornness, choose covenant. Come under my name and let me be your provision. The Lord would speak to his people today. Altar prayer team members are here, come forward. If you've never received Christ as your Savior and Lord, you need to do that this morning. You don't leave this place without knowing Jesus. He is the door to come under the name of God. He is the door, the only way to the Father, the only way to be restored into covenant with God. His sacrifice and his love is complete, and it's free. He just asks for your heart. Now receive the blessing of the Lord. Hopefully over the next couple weeks, with greater understanding, with greater expectation, with greater reverence and awe. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Go and be blessed. Ladies, be blessed as you celebrate new life. Have a blessed day. If you need prayer, come forward now. Don't leave here without coming up.